Little girl and little boy workshop growth. Little boy, little girl workshop growth up.
I'm an addict and my name is Glendora. And I'm only clean because of a loving God's grace and His old soul tender mercy. I want to thank the convention committee for inviting each and every one of us out here to celebrate with them this anniversary. I call it an anniversary. Every time you come together, it's an anniversary. I like parties, so whatever. A lot of you that know me know I'm missing my teeth. No surprise there. This is my step amends process. And the reason why I tell you, for those that you already know, some of you don't know. You know, you might think, I'm just very sexy and I'm keeping my mouth shut. I work with preschoolers and I always tell this, you know, when I first got them taken out, a little girl looked at me and she leaned forward and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. She said, Miss Glenn. I'm like, yeah, baby. How much did the tooth fairy give you? I'm like, damn! I'm like, I figured that was worth a Mercedes or all them old teeth. The next day, a parent came in and talked to me and said, Miss Glenn, my daughter worried about your teeth all night long. And I'm like, oh my God. So she found a joke for you. I'm like, now I'm a joke. Damn. And I said, well, go ahead, what's the joke? She said, what do you call a bear with no teeth? I'm like, now I'm a bear? Oh. I said, what do you call a bear with no teeth? Miss Glenn, you're a gummy bear. So I'm your gummy bear. And it ain't easy doing this in front of y'all. I got 25 minutes, and I'm going to give it to this gentleman. So here we go. Talking about a little girl grows up, why y'all want to mess with me? I grew up quick. I grew up fast in North Philadelphia. And I grew up believing like God had shortchanged me because my two older sisters had boobs and I didn't have any. So I would pray, dear God, give me boobs. Or boom, they came out. I grew up believing in fairy tales. I believed in happily ever after. I believed in the white knight who one day saved me from my father. I believed that, like, what I lived in when we ate dinner and breakfast and lunch and all that was not real. Downstairs in the basement was real because that's where illusion became my reality. My father abused my mother for years. And I never understood how she kept taking them punches and not going down and staying down. But in my illusion, Mrs. Brady and Mr. Brady didn't do that. But the problem with illusion is sooner or later you got to come out the basement and your reality is what it is. So I grew up fast because I don't know, your story might have been you had Peter Pan syndrome where you wanted to stay a kid forever. Mom was like, I can't wait till I get grown. Didn't know then it was overrated. So I don't dwell excessively. I grew up fast. Lost virginity at 13. I'm sorry if your story wasn't that one. That's cool. I'm glad for you. But they lied to me. Hardcore old man said I was going to hear bluebirds singing and violins playing. No. His name was Bird and he did just that. The bird. There come my virginity and it just opened up a can of worms. I grew up believing that when my father would sexually molest my sisters in front of me, because he wouldn't touch me, that I wasn't pretty enough. My hair wasn't long enough. I didn't have big enough breasts. That's why he loved me. I didn't know what he was doing was wrong. So I grew up believing I was never enough. So when I lost the virginity and I started meeting you men, you filled in what I thought was that void. But the only problem with that is, yeah, the penis might fit, but when it's gone, the void is still there. I don't know how to deal with life without a significant other. At 13, think about that. At 14, I'm going after you. At 15, I'm the whore of the school. Everybody laughing about me. And I'm laughing with them. The insanity of life before I even touch a drug. The insanity of the behaviors. Setting myself up just to be a joke, laughing at my own expense. I'm with you, y'all giggling about me. Yeah, you had a last night. I got a last night. And I'm sitting there in the middle of it. thinking that's the best I can do because that meant you loved me. So I started getting high. And I started coming down low. And I wanted to fix my world with this chemical, whatever it was. It didn't matter. Drug of choice, you hit right. What? And I'm moving up faster because I don't like to dwell excessively. I started using. They started calling me a crackhead. And I didn't understand it because I had, at the time, when I got clean, I've been clean now for 29 years and 5 months. When I was out there, crack was just starting to make an appearance in 86, you know, New Jack City and all that craziness. I thought we all smoking pieces of soap. So like, I was a scientist. And I'm out there like recruiting a few good men. And I'm out there, I'm stuck on stupid, you know the dumb look. I kept that look so long it became permanent. I stole everything that wasn't nailed down. I'm sorry, I have kleptomania. It's only under arrest, so be aware. You know, and I'm out there stealing, and I'm lying, and I'm cheating. My insanity became sane to me. I didn't believe that I could ever fail at the beginning. I thought getting high was getting up. And then when the hit, and when all the money's gone, all the dope was gone, only thing left to sell is your body. You hear my story? They used to laugh at me and say, well, she got a white liver. I didn't know what that was. I'm like, I don't know. What does that mean? That means you like a lot of sex. I do. So what came next? I started working the streets. I'm sorry, I was not a good prostitute. I really sucked. And I don't mean like... I got a steady clientele. Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I'm on the corner in Philly, and everybody else is on the Broad Street or down further, Franklin Avenue, hustling their bodies. I'm on Stinton Avenue in the West Oak Lane section, where if you know Philly, that's a residential and kids school, yeah. And everybody I kept standing on this one corner, and people would drive by and say, Miss, the bus don't come in. I'm like, get away! And I'm stuck on stupid because I've long since lost the value of my body. Mom taught us as a little girl growing up, you're supposed to protect this. This is special. You only give it to somebody who knows your worth. In active addiction, there was no worth. My skin crawled. It felt like maggots was on me when you were on me. You touched me in places that you shouldn't have touched, and I had to grin and bear it. I prayed for you to get off of me so I could run away and just get in the corner and cower. You held me hostage, you burnt me, you cut me, and I kept coming back. Long gone was the little girl. We stood down there was a girl with prostitute clothes on, shoes that Payless wouldn't even have sold. The metal was hitting the ground, I was making sparks, I told him I was hot. Stop wearing underwear because it got in the way of business. The luxury I didn't want to afford. And I'm out there, I'm stupid, bringing it on down to the end. Bad when everything is gone. Gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, trichomonas. Every other week or month I'm in the clinic. And men are saying things about me in front of me. They're saying like, man, don't mess with that baby. I mean, she's hot. And I thought they meant like hot. No, she's hot. 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 And I knew I was hot. And I don't mean the good hot. And I'm out there. And my baby sister came to my apartment one time, the last time. And she said, I'm going to keep the bad guys away. And she didn't understand that I was the worst bad guy she would ever meet. And I remember that night, I remember like as if it were yesterday, we pushed my beat up couch in front of the door so the bad guys would stay out. But in my mind, I knew I had promised my body to a Jamaican man. If you're Jamaican, I love you. You know, and I promised him I was going to give him some after he got me high. But I forgot my sister was there. And I'm like, how am I going to get her out the way? I didn't care about her well-being or her health. It was about me getting one more. And that night, the door didn't open inward, it opened out. All night long, she slept there curled up with her, she had this teddy bear that was all beat up, she wouldn't let it go. And she was curled up, and it kept jumping over the couch all night long, getting high. And when the dope ran out, and dude said, you gotta pay up. And I'm like, we get balls. Whether you got them down there or not, we get them. Like, man, I ain't paying up nothing. What? He said, don't worry about it, boo. You ain't gotta worry about it. He said, I'm gonna take it from the little girl. And I looked at her, and I knew. And in most insane moments of active addiction, you had moments of clarity. And I knew if he did something to her, She could never get back her innocence. Never. And to this day, my sister will never know to the level of degradation I had to go to keep him off of her. I had to keep him away from her because she was the only good thing in that apartment. I wasn't worthy, so why not sacrifice? And I did things that still make my skin crawl. But she got out, and I got tired, and I hit a bottom. And I remember crying in my daycare I still work at. And I remember curling up in the fetal position of my little girl growing up. And I remember curling up because I had sores, crabs, everything was hurting. He hit me in my face again. And I'm like, God, please. God, can you hear me? I hurt so bad, God. The men are hurting me. I just want to go home with you. I just want to go to sleep and not be here anymore. God, can you take me home? And 7 days later, God brought me home. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. This is a home. This is a home. This is the home I yearned for. I didn't know it when I made that cry. But it was a cry from the spirit, the soul. I can't do this anymore, God. I can't. And I started growing up in these rooms. And I gotta go faster because I only got a little bit of time. And I got in Narcotics Anonymous. I had a hot top fade. If y'all know what that is, it's when your hair sticks straight up. I understood why I was still standing up when I was new, because it was afraid of laying down because we lived in fear so much. And I got in here and I started getting keychains. I stole them all at first. I thought they were souvenirs. And some old smart girl told me I had to earn them. I'm like, I ain't got to earn. Oh, okay. I got to earn them, huh? And I didn't understand why NA gave us keychains. You know we ain't got no keys or no door. I'm like, y'all being funny, huh? Y'all trying to remind me I'm homeless. But I understood as time went on, we're talking about the little girl growing up, that with those normies or normal people can't see on that keychain, we know it holds the key to freedom. Anytime I earn a keychain, I've been free for that amount of time, I treasure that keychain. If you don't know about self-imposed bondage, look around you, you might be there right now. And I started getting involved in service. I got my first commitment. I sat on the front row. I got a chair. I was a chairperson. I got a sponsor. Didn't know what that was. Matter of fact, when y'all kept asking me, I said, look, leave me alone. Friday when I get paid, I'll get two more. I got a home group. It was somewhere I made regularly, no matter what it was. I was involved in service in that home group. I started feeling connection. I was socially coming alive. I lived in isolation. I was that addict that did better by myself because I could plan on you easier. You ain't interrupt my thinking. Here I am in a group and we got a conscience. We all come together for the greater good. And I started learning something. You need your war. If you want a war, you need all your ammunition. So I don't go nowhere without my basic text. It works out well. And on back then, we ain't have all that good stuff. We had third edition basic text. We was way back. But I had them on me. Anytime I walk by an old cop house, I'll have my basic text around my arm. See, I got this. And I started making friends in here. When I first met you, I just met a Glendora outside, which is so cool. But I started meeting people, and they didn't know how to say my name. It don't matter, newcomers. It don't matter. I was Granola, Grenadine, Griselda, Glenella, Glenella. And I just say, hey. But I started getting with the women. I started learning that little girl need to grow up by, like, letting women in. I started learning how to compliment you women. You look really pretty today. And not feeling like I had to compete with you. I started learning how to support you women. You speaking, I'll be there. Your anniversary, I got you. I started looking at the women and seeing not competition or my enemies, but these are women that will tell me the truth. I started listening to you women share about the way your bodies are changing. I got in here and I was clean. And I wanted an NA baby so I could take it in the meeting and make it cry so y'all don't get me this. But I got in here and I got like 90 days and I found out I could never have children ever because of gonorrhea, syphilis, and chlamydia. And they wound up giving me a hysterectomy and they took all my giblets. And I don't know, you don't know my story. When y'all say things like that, when I share, and y'all tell me, oh, you can have mine, or you don't really want to be a mom, don't say it unless you walk these shoes. I found myself at odds with women that were having baby showers. I didn't want to go because I felt I didn't qualify. I wasn't really a full woman because I hadn't birthed a baby. And my sponsor, thank you God, showed me that that's not just everything a woman is. And so I went back to college and I got my degree in early childhood education. And I teach your kids. And now I want y'all to come get them. Please. And I learned there's more to me than my vagina in the Narcotics Anonymous. I learned the hard way, so I'm trying to school y'all so maybe you don't have to go on a research. I love hard. Like I know a lot of you don't love hard. I love the muscle, man. I love you so much. I feel like I'm your resuscitator. I gave you life. That's right. And I got in here and I wanted that knight in shining armor. I wanted to have Lee ever after. And I picked a few good men. And I started spreading myself a little thin like peanut butter, like everywhere. I'm around. I got him. And I found myself having the same behaviors like I had on the street. And it reminded me of the NA square dance because you started switching partners. And you find yourself can't go over this side of your city because you did all too many over there and you can't go over there. And it is like an NA square dance. Glenn go with Michael go with Alice, Alice go with Sarah, Sarah go with Ricky go with Tommy go with Tim, Tim go with Bobby go with this, Billy go with... And by the time you finish, you don't dance through all NA. You know how it works. More was revealed. And you kept coming back for more. And so I started getting a rep in Narcotics Anonymous. And when the pain gets great enough, the surrender process becomes a little bit easier. Throw it up. So I started learning some stuff. And I'm not going to skip around because I got minimal. Ooh, I got to go. I didn't like y'all talking about me. And my father said, if you don't like it, then change it. Change, I must. Or die, I will. I got a sponsor, I got a home group, I got the literature. I'm involved in service. I'm involved in Narcotics Anonymous. Cut me, I bleed, basic text blue. What? And I'm in here, and I'm like wanting to change. I don't like the whore that I can be when I choose not to act on these spiritual principles. So in order to make that behavior go away, I need to change my playmates, my playgrounds, and my playthings. I can't hang around you if you're very promiscuous, because like attracts like. I see you getting it on, and I'm going to tell you how I know this to be true. It was a young lady. I was hanging around with her. I call myself on the spiritual path. I can talk fast. Just keep up. And I saw her. She said, girl, you're getting older. Get you a young buck. I'm like, young buck? Young buck. Yes, a young buck. A man that's really much younger than you. I'm like, how much younger? It doesn't matter as long as he's younger. I said, okay. So I saw this man. He was like 6'2". Chocolate with nuts. My favorite. I knew he was younger than me. I knew. He had on the Tim's Hung Low, had tats everywhere, two diamond earrings, and he had on them shoes, them big Timberland boots, and that, oh my God, the white beard, he had pow, pow, pow. So I went after him. I put on my Terminator vision glasses, and I focused. And I was in somewhere, I wasn't home, and I ain't gonna get to where, but we wound up being in a room together. I ain't gonna get to the why. Well, you can figure out the why. And I said, this is a young buck, I'm gonna tear him up, because in our mind, there's a freak. She's on prison time right now. But she can't make bail. And when you're locked and loaded in what you want, obsession and compulsion takes over. Tell yourself, sinners, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to tell this young boy. I'm going to show him how a real woman works. You let the freak out. Now you open the cage a little bit. You don't open it all the way. Because the freak got to take slow to come out. You don't want all that freakness. He can't take all the freakness. So I came into the room, the hotel room, and dude dropped his pants. Bam. I'm like, you're truly blessed. God is... So the freak in my mind took a little step back like that might be a bit much. But I persevered. I kept going on because I believe you don't give up. Nothing beats a failure but a try. So I went in and I went in like, I'm hearing y'all chanting, go Glenn. So I went in and I jumped in there and we was going, and when you're my age, you don't do all that no more. Because when you stop, it's still going. So I tried to play him and I was dancing. And he got my head going. And for those of you who don't know, if you're dealing with a big woman that got big boobies, you do not tilt them on the angle because it goes to their neck. Ah! He thought he was tearing up the house. He was. I'm going to call 911, bitch. Ah! And I'm giving him a ride with his money, I thought. And we heard a noise, click. I'm like, what was that? He said, I don't know, I heard it too. I said, I would go investigate. And when I went to stand up, my hip went out of place. And I realized then that not everything is for everybody. And so I went back home in a fetal position on a train, wishing I had brought my Medicare card, you know, my AARP, my senior citizen discount, because I was in pain. All that to let you know, like, look, we can still make bad moves. Trying to find perfect in an imperfect world. I'm sorry, I'm adding. I tell you I love hard, and I got things. Okay, I got things that go on in my life, and I got to, 5 minutes, y'all. Look, I love hard, and I got to give you this before I go. Most of my life in recovery and a lot of my life in active addiction, I've always stood in line and raised my hand to be a victim. But really, I volunteered. And I had to ask myself some questions on a step work level. Am I an option or a priority? And let me break it down for you that don't know. Y'all that know me, Winnie, all my babies, all my sponsors, all y'all, I love y'all. An option is somebody who can't call the other person he's sleeping with because you really don't know the real number. An option is a person that sits around and waits for them to decide they want to be with you. An option is someone who can't find where they live or where they work because you're not supposed to know that information. You signed an invisible contract saying that you would be quiet until I tell you to open your mouth. An option is somebody who doesn't have that deep level of self-respect to be able to say, no, I won't take another Valentine's Day without you. You can't say that because you're optional. An option is someone who knows about the other relationship and okay with what they think until they face with the fact that, look, you're really not that okay, but you're optional. You volunteer for this, now take it like a woman and set up. And I've been an option for many people, not feeling that I was worthwhile, not feeling I deserve to be on your arm, but let me tell you about the priority. A priority is somebody that walk on your arm in the daylight. I ain't no secret for nobody. When you're not with me physically, you represent me as if I were right there. A priority is somebody who says, this is who I am, box, ball, package. I got one boob longer than the other, don't look. You know, and I know what it is. You can't buy the package with just the bowl, honey. It all comes complete. I'm a big girl and I represent, look, I keep you warm in the winter and give you shade in the summer. I know who I am. I'm a priority. And as a priority, I understand some things. I've got to do something different. I got to practice these principles in all my affairs. So bring it up when a little girl grows up. I told you, my mom raised me well. And last year, this time, I got a phone call and I'm in the ear. And my sister said, Glenn, get to the nursing home because mommy had had Alzheimer's for like 5-6 years. And I learned from y'all growing up how to take care of my mom. Gucci, Prada, it don't matter what you got on, you get down and do what you got to do. I cleaned my mom, I fed my mom, I combed my mom's hair. I changed my mom's diaper even when she fought me and didn't want me to see her. I did it. I was there. Every time I would go in the nursing home, I would pray, God, please, don't let me get sick and leave my mom like that. And I was on point. I did her nails one time with purple. I didn't have nothing else. She said, what the hell is that? I'm like, that was so cool to hear those words. I took moments where I thought the self-centeredness in me said, damn, if it wasn't for her, I would have babies and push them aside. So when I got the call to come to the nursing home, I'm like, what's up? She said, mom's not responsible. She's done it before. So I drove really fast and I got to the nursing home and I parked and I'm running inside because I see the ambulance and the cop cars. I'm like, somebody trying to hurt old people up in the air. I got to get my mom out. So I get on the elevator and I go to the third floor and when my mom's room was, it's like right across from the elevator. And so when I step up the elevator to my right, my sister was over there screaming, crying. I'm like, what's going on? Somebody hurt mom? And I look over there, my niece is screaming. And I said, Michelle, what's going on? She said, mommy's gone. I'm like, no, she's not. She's right there. I see her. She said, she's gone. I'm like, no, she's not gone. And I went and I touched my mom and mom was gone. I'm like, mom, you can't leave me. You can't leave me. This little girl needs you. I don't know what to do, and I'm so sorry. The nights I tricked you, you couldn't find me. The nights I stole from you, I'm so sorry. Don't leave me. 3 hours I held my mom's body, and I knew she was gone, but I didn't want to let go. The little girl had to grow up in the moment. You understand? Y'all talk all that stuff, buy CDs. It was in the moment when all the lessons that you've learned, all the hurt that you felt, come to forefront, and you gotta be a big girl. And I had to put on my big girl panties. And I had to bury my mother. And I got out of there and the nurses came and circled me up. I thought they were members of NA. And they said, look, we're going to miss your mom, but we're going to miss you more. You came in, you became a child to every person in here. You came in here and played more karaoke than anybody. I did. And I buried my mom with dignity. And Narcotics Anonymous, you came to that funeral and showed out. And I'm telling you what I'm saying about the little girl grows up. In a moment, I could give my body away to somebody and feel the feelings of being an option, but I got choices to make to become that priority. I know what I'm worth. My mother taught me what I was worth. And this is to say to you, I'm worth a lot more than I put out there. I'm a very stressful person. I know this about myself. So I continue to work. 12 steps are the key. They are the tools to freedom. I want to be free. I am not an option. I want to be free. I know what I'm worth. I want to be free because my mother taught this little girl. And no matter what goes on in life, you stand up and you be accountable, responsible, and all that inside of you. To each and every one of you, my name is Glendora Bellamy. I'm not a secret. Thanks for letting me share. I'm done. Fuck!